Blog Talk Radio.
Number 370 shows and counting this evening. This is just so wonderful having this radio platform for all the animals in need and distress, speaking out for them, advocating for them, and all these former guests that have come on. They're so amazing, so informative, and I can't thank them all enough, and all the listeners that's called in, and listeners out there, we appreciate your support so much and made all these shows successful. And we're going to keep going because the voices of all of us really do matter in our actions. So what we got to do is keep going, keeping these radio shows keep going and bringing the awareness, the education, how you can take action and get involved. I just want to go over a couple things before we do get the show started. My name is Debbie Dahmer, and I am the producer and host for Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, on Blog Talk Radio, coming to you live every Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Everyone, you can listen in worldwide. I will be taking calls towards the middle of the show, and that number is the same every Thursday. So if you want to jot it down or keep it in your contacts, and it's area code 310-982-4270, and you'll be in the queue. And if you want to speak, press 1, and I'll let you come on board. Just try to refrain from any noises in the background, TVs, radios, conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board. You can also use Skype to call in also, or listen by the Internet. And if you want to follow my shows, you know, it'll alert you every time in your primary email, okay? And it's awesome because I have it, www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescarryforanimals. Press follow, put your email address, and every time there's an upcoming broadcast, it will alert you in your primary email. It's awesome. And also, this show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online, and that's a big shout-out to Marty Oakley of TS Radio Network. for promoting this show every Thursday. And also Voices Caring for Animals originated from TS Radio Network, show number 1 through 163. And that started back in June of 2014 up to March of 2018. And then Marty Oakley helped me to get Animal Advocates Radio together on my own. And it's also been a total success. So a big shout out to her. She's a great teacher, plus a great friend, and please visit her the shows. She has some hot topics on TS Radio Network, and how you can get to them is if you follow on the PPJ Gazette online, and that's www.ppjg.me, and it's on the right-hand column. Press follow, and it's similar every time there's a new news article or my shows pop up or her shows, it will also alert you in your primary email. You can always share these radio promos at the bottom of the radio promo to the social media networks. And this is just, it takes teamwork to see any victories, everyone, from all angles. And I believe in teamwork all the way. And I want to give a big shout out also to Animal Advocate Alliance, Gary Bowden. He's a radio producer for All About Animals Radio. And big thank you to him because he's a hard worker. He's hard working hard for the animals. And a bunch of us global animal advocates is on Animal Advocate Alliance, you know, posting the post almost every day, informing everyone to what's going on behind the scenes. There could be petitions or videos, but please check it out, Animal Advocate Alliance website. And also, Animal Advocate Alliance is also on Twitter and Facebook. You can press like or follow, and All About Animals Radio have some great shows on there also. Nicole Rogers of Wild for Change is one of the hosts, and also she's been a guest on here, and also Nikita Dwan from Youth for Animals is one of his hosts. But a big thank you to all of you because you're a great team to work with, and that's what it takes. It takes teamwork to see any positive victories out there. I want to also, this is very important, there is a nationwide horse rally this tomorrow and Saturday. And if you please visit the website to get the times and the dates, it's a wildhorsefreedomrally.com. And it's going to be on the September 23rd and 24th, standing up for all the wild horse and burros, okay? And so you can find out the locations. I hope this is a great turnout. A big shout-out to Terry Hall and Jackie Olive, who has founded this. And they've been on this show several times. They've had a rally back in June and also back in April. So we hope, wishing them the best for these rallies coming up. Hope there's a huge turnout for everyone. And HR3355, the SAFE Act concerning horse slaughter, there was great news, got email alerted today. There's been 4 more co-sponsors on this. This is great news. And a big thank you to co-sponsors because it's so important. And there's currently 222 co-sponsors for HR3355, the SAFE Act. Okay, and then the HR6635 is the Wild Horse and Burro Protection Act. And we still need some help for that. So please call your state representatives and senators and ask them to co-sponsor these HR3355, the SAFE Act, and also HR6635, the Wild Horse and Burro Protection Act. And let's see this. Hope and pray it passes all the way. We need a victory for these wild horses and burros because of these roundups are very, they traumatize the horse. It scares them to death. and they shouldn't have to live like this. These animals need to be treated better and, you know, away from fear and anxiety and getting traumatized. And even ones going to horse slaughter. I mean, it's banned in the United States, but yet they can ship them over to Mexico, Canada, Asia for human consumption. So please spread the word out there, everyone, about this, because not everyone's aware of it. Just, you know, whether it's your family members, your neighbors, coworkers, I mean, get the word out, because, hey, the more of us that come together, the stronger we become, and we are better together than apart. So let's keep, you know, standing up for these animals, taking that action, and I'll give you the number to find your representative. Area code 202-224-3121. And during business hours, give your zip code, and they will hook you up with your either your representative, senator, or you can write an email if you're not up to calling. And find your state representative, search it, and then you have to put your zip code in, and then you could write an email, ask them to co-sponsor these two bills. There's plenty more of them out there, but I hope to see this victory coming through, because these wild horse and burros, they deserve it so much. They need to be treated better with dignity and respect, live freely. And they all have families, and they should be free from neglect and abuse, and heading towards the other countries to be human consumption. Okay, so I'm going to get started here. I got a guest coming back, and she's a big supporter of the show. She's got a huge heart, everyone. She's out there multitasking. She's this great shining star for our animal friends in need and distress. And her name is Ray Bittner, and she's president of Animal Rights Advocate at Institute Street Feral Colony. And also I call her Mama Cat, because she has taken care of over 110 stray cats and colonies. And I know they're so glad to see her when she pops up, and it shows her love and care and concern. But I want to welcome her aboard, Ray Bittner. How are you this evening? Welcome back, and thanks for being such a great supporter and a family member of Voices Care for Animals. How are you? You're live and on the air.
I'm doing well, Debbie. How are you doing this evening?
Hey, I was just passing all this, you know, help promote my shows, go all over the place. It was excited to have you back on, so welcome back. And this is not the last time. It will be coming on again, and thanks for the times that you filled in when, well, guests, you know, had to leave on emergency, and you was there, and it just turned out good, you know. So, but thank you, and show my appreciation. And our topic tonight, everyone, is TNR, Trap, Neuter, Return Groups Working for the Common Good of Community Cats Want to Help End the Suffering of These Homeless, Stray, and Feral Cats. They help each other help them. Okay, but go ahead, Ray, and tell the audience, even refresh your audience, how you got started. And again, thank you so much for all you're doing, because all lives matter, including the animals. And so we have to make the better lives and futures for them, because we know these stray cats, they go through all types of weather. And even in the snow and the rain and storms and... it's very tough on them, and we got to get closer with them and see what we can do to help them out better, because they deserve better. But go ahead and tell the audience how you got started. This is great.
Well,
thank you.
I have to say that before 2013, I never heard the word feral. I didn't know. I had no idea what a feral cat was. I knew what a stray cat was. Over the years, I've had a few that, you know, showed up at my house. I started feeding them and quickly moved into my house. But, I mean, I didn't realize the plight that these animals have. And when I moved into the house I'm living in now that we bought, there were cats everywhere. I mean, they were just everywhere. And we adopted, well, we rescued a dog, and she was a cat killer. So I was so worried that she was going to kill these cats. If she got a chance, she would have. So I called the Humane Society because I didn't know what to do, you know. And so I called the Humane Society, and they told me, well, we have a lady that does TNR, and I didn't know what that was, so they told me. And she said, we'll send her over to you tomorrow. So the lady shows up. Funny thing there, she was an ex-neighbor of mine that I used to call the crazy cat lady because she dealt with cats, and it's kind of a funny story there. But she showed up. She came with trap and food and a long list of how-tos, what not to do, what to do. And she taught me everything I needed to know. We got the Boy Scouts involved, and they built houses. I think they built 7 houses. I had 21 cats on my property. 19 were female, 2 very happy boys, and all 19 of the girls were pregnant. Now, by the time we found them, they were very, very pregnant. And, you know, it depends on what side of the fence you're on there, but I didn't think that TNR included killing babies. So we had about almost 100 babies out of that one litter of cats. So I jumped in with both feet, and it was one of the hardest things I've probably ever had to do, to deal with the illness, the death. So many of those babies, you know, they have no care. And the mothers hide them and they move them, and you can't get your hands on them. So they're basically, you know, like you say, out there in the elements. And it was really hard, but I worked very hard. And in the end, it took me 5 years to get all 21 of those cats socialized, tamed enough where they could be adopted into good and loving homes. So in 5 years, and everybody told me, oh, don't waste your time. You'll never tame them. Never this, never that, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's not true. I mean, I can see where people believe that because, you know, most people don't have that much time to devote to a colony of cats where you're, you know, but these were in my yard. And so it's not like I had to go far to find them. And I just worked with them every day. And the last day when the last two cats went to their forever home, I called this lady and I told her, okay, able to touch these cats now. They jump in my lap. Don't want them. You need to be here every morning at 6 o'clock so that you can sit in the chair, because I had a specific chair out in the yard that I sat in. And when they jump in your lap and you can actually pick them up, then you can take them home. So she come up to my door one day. Holden Shadow was the toughest one. He was the oldest feral. And she had him in her arms. And I cried like a baby. And it was so many emotions that all come together because, you know, I'm glad that the last ones are going into a home, but yet now what do I do? You know, all my cats are gone. Now what do I do? Well, there's never been a shortage of animals in need. And I quickly jumped into trapping in other areas, helping other people. You know, I started my page, Institute Street Feral Cat Colony, just to kind of get, you know, what these animals went through, what I dealt with, what I saw, you know, how many trials and, you know, it's a sad story what these animals go through. And so I got involved with trapping in other areas, and now here I am in 2022, and I've got over 100 cats that I feed on a daily basis and take care of, and I still trap them and get them their yearly shots, and it's been amazing.
Wow. That is amazing.
But, you know, I call TNR
awesome.
My gateway drug. because along with TNR, it's opened up so many other doors. I mean, doors that I didn't even know were there, like the elephants. I mean, and the what these horses go through, not just the roundups, but the street horses, the carriage horses, the racing
yes.
horses, the dogs, the greyhounds, the, you know, the beagles that we saved from experimentation, from our own government. It's just, it's never ending. And I pray every day that we can find a way to end it everywhere. But we need more people. We need more advocates. We need more people sharing and spreading the word, like these roundups. People, a lot of people have never even heard about these horse roundups. They have no, I mean, they gave it such a fun name, roundup, you know. People don't know that when they use those helicopters, horses are being run into chain link or to barbed wire fences. Babies are being stampeded to death. Horses are getting broken legs because, I mean, just imagine, you know, for us, I guess a comparison would be a UFO chasing you through a field. And imagine the anxiety and the fear and everything that you would have. That's what these animals are feeling. They have no idea what's going on. We just need more people to spread the word and to jump in there and to show up at these rallies and call your legislators. And I'm going to give that number again just in case somebody didn't have time to write it down. 202-224-3121. Put your zip code in there. And, you know, write letters. We have to find a way to help all these animals. You know, it's, I don't expect each person to help every animal that there is, but if each person just helped one, it would make a huge difference, you know, because we just don't have enough people to go around.
Agreed. Whatever, because every effort counts out there, Ray. I mean, everything. Whether you write a letter, you know, make that phone call. And, I mean, a big shout-out to all the animal advocates, activists, and all that. But there is so many issues out there that we don't have enough to go around. And it's terrible.
That's it.
And there's millions and millions of people out there, you know, to do something. And a lot of people are not aware. And we was talking earlier about the social media, how it brings us like a landing strip where we can spread the information, wake people up and open their eyes and what's going on behind the scenes. And there's so much going on, you know, these animals don't stand a chance without us fighting for them and speaking out. You know, and the victories, you know, love to see them come in, but they don't come in fast enough, and that puts all the animals in harm's way. So we have to, you know, like 2023 is coming up, the sidelines, and everyone, you know, contact your legislators to get some bills in there to get in the draft and get approved for these animals. Let's see a huge year coming up for, you know, bills and legislation for the animals' rights and get them, you know, passed. Not only put it, you know, in the draft and get it approved, but stay up on it and see what's going on. Keep spreading the word, having all the supporters call in and support it too. Because the more of us that come together and take action, the faster the changes. And I've seen that happen a lot. You know, when the
yeah,
strength of numbers, right?
You know,
People
don't have to start at, you know, like the representatives and the senators level. You can start with your local representatives, your city council and stuff like your mayor. Getting ordinances passed in your own neighborhoods is a great place to start because you got to start somewhere and you can't always start at the top. You know, I've been to many city council meetings. I go to other, help other people with their city council meetings. And again, strength in numbers. The more people that show up, the more that they pay attention. You know, we've got to get some of these, you know, in local jurisdictions, it's the cats. Just not a lot of help, and it's expensive. Spay and neuter, generally speaking, is expensive. You know, so what we did was we went around to a lot of the vets in town, and we asked them if they would be willing to donate just a couple hours of their time on a Saturday or a Sunday or an evening clinic, you know, with other vets so that we could get these cats spayed and neutered, because the cities are not paying for this. The shelters are not paying for spay and neuter. It's the person that goes out there and does the trapping. It's the rescues. It's the advocate. It's the old lady on the corner. It's the teenager in a, you know, college dorm that had a cat show up at her house. These are the people that are paying for spay and neuter. And when vets are charging $200 a pop or $100 a pop, you know, it's just not a doable thing, especially with the economy the way it is. So going to your local veterinarians, you know, we go to them with our animals, and we trust them with our animals, and they're in business because we trust them. You know, we give our hard-earned money to them to take care. So I just think it's a great idea for these people to give back to their community. I'm not saying travel around the country and, you know, give your time away free. I understand they have to make a living, but it doesn't take much for, you know, you look through the Yellow Pages, there's what, 300 vets in a town like my size, you know, and if you could just get them to donate even a half of them a couple hours on a Saturday or Sunday, it makes a huge difference. And once they get in there and they realize the plight, the sad stories, and, you know, the condition that these animals are living in, they end up donating a lot more time. You know, but like I say, you got to start asking the questions. You got to, you know, take that step forward and approach these people. Go to city council meetings. Go to your tractor supply places and hang up notes on their billboards. Most of them all have a billboard when you first walk in the store, you know, and it is teamwork. It is strength in numbers. And it is something that I believe we can take care of in our future. And I hope I live long enough to see it.
I know. That's the main thing. You know, we can't just stand idle, or only a handful of us has taken action. You know, hey, that's only spinning our wheels. So the more of us that come together, and everyone, all your voices do matter, your actions matter. You know, I've heard so many excuses, Ray, that, hey, it's all about money. They're not going to do anything. Well, how do you know unless you try? You got to at least try. And that's what all of us have to do. We have to stay proactive and optimistic and keep going and be relentless and don't give up. You know, just like this these horse rallies on the weekend, you know, after the first one in April, you know, they didn't give up. They had one in June. Now they're having one in, you know, over the weekend. So that is a good sign. They are not giving up, or they're not going away. And I hope it's a huge turnout, because a lot of this is animal cruelty front lines in animal cruelty in the first degree. They shouldn't have to suffer and go, you know, anxiety and torture and be afraid. That's no kind of life for them, or, you know, in captivity, you know, get forced to do something that they don't want to do or have no say-so in the matter. So everyone out there, all you animal advocates, your voices do matter. We got to get louder and louder and louder to get our point across. I mean, peacefully, but we have to get stronger, because we got a new year coming up, 2023, and who knows how many more victories will come in before the end of the year. But what we can do is work for them for the new year coming up, and coming in strong and better. and more of us, you know, working together, because that means so much too. Teamwork is the key, you know, to unlock all the changes to be made. And when you're professional and kind and polite to these politicians, or whether it's the meeting you're going to, get your word across, and you know, and show some kind of proof, and you might win. You know, you might win all the way, and then you have to have people backing you. So never think that, you know, hey, going alone, you're going to win all the way, because you do need support, and keep our politicians, you know, alert on these issues, because they're so important. And Ray and I, we multitask and help, you know, wherever we can do, whether it's signing petitions or writing letters, you know, sending emails, making those phone calls, that's so important. And everyone out there, your actions are important too. You know, November 8th is coming, get out there and vote. You know, that's the main
thing.
You know, yeah. I mean, that right there, your voice is your vote, okay? So don't think, oh, well, my vote's not going to count. Your vote counts on everything out there, that when there is a vote coming up, it does matter. So, you know, strength in numbers, Obamacat, that is so important. You know, coming together, getting stronger and stronger, and doing your part. You know, put a little love in your heart and do your part, because if we want to see change, we got to take action, no questions asked, because it's not going to just do it on its own. It's not going to just magic, poof, it just changed. No, it's
right.
Not going to happen like that.
Nope.
We only wish it would, you know, or wake up the next day, oh, it's already changed already. Nope, it's not that easy, and we all know that. It's not going to happen overnight, but hey, the faster we come together and take that action and do something about it, hey, because I've seen a lot happen, you know, with these victories. Even doing these shows, I can't take credit, but I am involved. And when I see it and say, hey, I know I'm not spinning my wheels, you know, hell, I was involved
right.
with that. And so that encourages me to go even farther. You know, not stop there. I say, hey, we could do this again. You know, look how many
right.
people have come together, right? I mean, look through these shows, how many of my guests have came together as one and working together. I've seen them, you know, with photos together taken, and they're taking action together. And when you see those big organizations coming together and putting their name on it, hey, that's when you're, well, it means something, because they even have to meet with the state legislators. You know, they can't just change things on their own either. You know, they encourage them to, hey, you want to come with us and this is how you can help? Do it. You know, go to their page and stay up on it. Because, you know, Mama Cat's out there, she's doing her thing, and it's important, and she loves doing it too. You're a shining star for all these animals, Ray, all of them. I mean, you multitask and help them out. And all the great stories you've told me.
I can go on and on about cats and what happens to cats, but then you got to sit back and think, that's just one species that's under attack. You know, dogs,
mm-hmm.
there's... so many sad stories about dogs and dog fighting and making money off of them and then just slaughtering them like they were nothing and dumping dogs and shooting dogs. And, you know, I've seen and up close and personal a lot of the stuff that's locally, you know, happens to them. And, you know, I mean, and that's just cats and dogs. And then monkeys and orangutans and elephants and the horse. I mean, I don't know of a single species that's not under attack. Even our bees are under attack, for crying out loud. You know, and,
yes.
and it's all strung back to one thing, humans. It's us. You know, we're
yes,
doing
it
this.
Is.
And it's not, I mean, if we are who's causing it, we are the only ones that can fix it, you know. And I have seen a lot of fights won, like the circuses are no longer using animals, and, you know, most cities no longer do the carriage rides for horses when it's hot. Dog track racing has all but been, you know, shut down. I don't know of any more that are left open. There may be one or two left, but, you know, it's a matter of time for them. You know, and elephants being taken from zoos that are not caring for them and put into sanctuaries. And, you know, so we are getting some wins, but it just seems like every time we get a win, we dig up another animal that's under attack. And, you know, but I will say this, the pandemic has created many, many more advocates. You know, people that spent their days at work, which we all have had to do, they were home for, you know, almost 2 years. They were on the internet. They saw more things. They were introduced to more things. And we did, you know, gain a lot of animal advocates during that time, and a lot of them are still, you know, helping, getting the word out, doing something, donating, transporting, fostering, you know, sharing whatever they can do. So that is a plus that came out of the pandemic. As long as we just keep those people going, and, you know, everybody's got to always remember, it's tough. It's tough to see what these animals, you know, like the experimental beagles and what they do to monkeys and rabbits and rats. And the human race is horrible with experimentation on animals. It's just, it's sickening. But we can't get so wrapped up in all the horror that we shut ourselves down. And it will get to that point with everybody. If you're into animal advocating, it will eventually wear on you. And you just got to take a step back, not for too long, hopefully, but take a step back and, you know, take care of yourself and just tell yourself, you know, if it's not us speaking up for them, who's going to, you know, and then jump back in. And but you can't let yourself go. You got to take care of yourself, too, because the animals depend on us to stand up for them. And until I take my last breath, that's what I'm going to be doing.
That's right, because they, just like with the children, the elderly, the animals, they are defenseless, helpless, voiceless, and innocent. And if we don't stand up for them, Ray, they don't stand a chance, okay? And we have to make their lives better for them because they deserve it. We're all on this earth temporarily, and we got to make the best of it. And that's including all the animals, and all their lives matter. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen some very sad photos just of these cats living on the streets, okay? And they got it rough, you know, all weather conditions, and just like the winter's coming up, and they got to be out in that coldness and snow and ice, and it's got to be terrible for them. And that's when they got to look at it and say, "Hey, we got to be a part of the solutions, not the ongoing problems. You know, we got to do something." And you know, spay and neuter your pets, everyone. You know, and. And with these animals out on the streets, they got it rough, just like humans living on the streets, okay? Or your veterans. There's children out there living on the street, men, women. We know, look how they got to have it rough, or living in tents, you know? So we all have to, you know, look at this and say, hey, how can we make this better for them? Give them a second chance. Give them a home, a place called, you know, home sweet home, because there's no place like it. And every animal deserves a TLC home out there, every one of them.
Absolutely.
Okay. So,
yep.
Yep. And no, there's no excuse for, you know, abuse and neglect. And some of these animals going through, you know, abuse. It's zero excuses for it. And they don't deserve that kind of treatment. They deserved all to be treated with dignity and respect. And I've learned so much from all these shows on this radio platform, how so many animals are getting, I mean, abused, neglected, and so many of them are getting put on the back burner. And they shouldn't be, because a lot of these problems, Mama Cat, has rolled over from the 20th century. And our first step we got to do is, when these kids growing up, educate them more with dignity and respect for the animals. Because some, you know, do have pets at home, but not all of them. And that's where it goes, because then they can move into their adulthood doing the same. Okay, treating them with dignity and respect. And look at your grandkids, Skylar and Allie, how much they've helped you out. They've been a guest on the show and did a wonderful. And Skylar, he was taking calls and everything. Give him a big hug from me and thank him for what he's doing, him and Allie, because it means so much. And you bring it up right. I mean, you're teaching them, and that's education. So they'll go through their whole adulthood, you know, treating animals with dignity and respect, you know, and caring for them, because you have led them that way. You're their...
Well, and every year I go to the schools and I talk to the classes about TNR and animal advocacy and helping animals, and I always have Allie and Skylar involved in those, I guess you'd call it like a mini seminar at the schools. And I have the kids come up and answer questions, because these youngsters today will listen a lot better to another child telling them what they've done or what they've seen, you know, that these animals go through, rather than hear it from an adult. And these kids want to learn. They want to help, and they sit there and they're so interested in getting involved. And, you know, when you ask them, does anybody have any questions, and over half the arms in the classroom stick up, I mean, you know that you're hitting a good point. So I don't understand why every school doesn't have some sort of class about this. But, you know, there's so much going on in the schools these days that I don't know if advocacy for animals has got a spot, apparently. But it would be great if they did. And I'm thankful that a lot of the schools here let me come in and talk to the kids about this. You know, even if it's just a couple times a year, it's fine. At least they're getting a little bit of that information. And they're not going to, you know, be 40-some years old and say, I've never heard of the word feral cat. I didn't know that this was happening, because they know. And once you know, you can't unknow it. You know, like the pictures that people put on Facebook of, you know, neglect and beatings of animals and what animals go through, and people get upset. Why do you post that? I post it because once you see it, you can't unsee it. You know, and I hope that if that picture even touches just one person and gets them to stand up and help, then my job has been done there, you know?
That's right. And that means so much, too, when you're going into the classroom. I wish they had more of that. I'm not sure what's really going on out there, because there's so many issues right now. But they need to educate these kids. I mean, because animals are part of our everyday life. We don't see a lot of them, but they are part of our everyday life. They're out there, you know, whether pets at home, you know, or even in the schools, if they would just, you know, even have classes just like what you're doing and educating them more. And then, you know, how word spreads so fast, and encouraging people, hey, we got to do more than what we're doing for these animals, because we could all do better than what we're doing, all of us. You know, and it doesn't take that much time. It can't get no easier than help make changes from the comfort of your home, your phone, your computer. You know, you got to, if you have a copier, you know, a fax or whatever. It doesn't get any easier than that. I can't think of an easier way. And to get the word out, you know, hey, we got to work on the problems and do something, and bring these solutions, because if not, it's just going to go decade after decade after decade with all the same problems. And we can't have that, because that means putting all the animals in harm's way. And if anybody wants to call in and speak to Ray, the number's area code 310-982-4270, or you can call him from Skype from that number. Press 1, you'll be in the queue, and just try to refrain from any noises in the background, and you're more than welcome to come on board. Having another great show, Mama Cat. Area code 724, I know who this is. Hey, go ahead. You're live and on the air, Pitbull Diane. Go ahead.
No, that's me. Hey, I wanted to tell Mama Cat that, I mean, it's just amazing what all she does, you know. And, you know, and I've been friends with her for a while, but I just gotten to know her, you know, a little more. And because I never realized.
Diane, you got some noise in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I never
I want to hear you loud and clear.
She does.
Go ahead.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Is that better,
Debbie?
Were
you on speakerphone? Yeah, was you on speakerphone? Thanks for calling in. Yeah, put your, because Blog Talk picks up all noises, and there was some banging in the background. I don't know if it was banging dishes or what.
No, this is my dog with her new toy. No, I just wanted to tell Mama Cat, you know, I never realized all the stuff that she did for all the different animals. It's amazing. It really is.
Yes, it is.
Thank you for that, Mama Cat.
Ah, thanks, Diane.
And Debbie,
and
I mean,
for everything.
So, Debbie, too.
And
I
thank
mean,
you,
just,
Diane, for everything you do for the pit bulls.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, that matters. Their lives matter, too. You'll keep it up.
Yeah.
You know?
Like you said, this is all rolled over from how many years and years and years ago? And
yeah, from the
really
20th
no
century.
Still be happening.
Isn't it crazy how long it's been going on?
I know.
Ridiculous.
It keeps going on, and that's what's sad.
That's what we need is to get it stopped.
I think what
you've
got a great idea going there, Mama Cat, with the in the schools. Debbie, you're right. I think that's where they need to start. You know, in the schools.
Yes,
when they're using.
Their little personalities are formed when they're in elementary school. And
if
we don't reach them in elementary school, then it's just harder and harder every time, you know, we try to reach them.
Exactly.
If they're not taught, you know, animal care and all that, animal advocacy, blah, blah, you know, if adults don't teach them, who the heck's going to teach them?
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, and by the time they, like, you're right, by the time they get in middle school, you know, if they haven't learned by then, it's going to be so hard because they're learning so much when they go into middle school. They're picking up on everything. And if you can't
and
catch
not
them
the
before,
good stuff.
Yeah, chances are you're not going to reach them.
Yeah.
But we can keep trying.
Well, you know, I used to take care of birds, and it just, pigeons. It just kind of happened. I don't like birds, or I didn't like birds, actually. They gave me the hives. I just was very nervous around birds. Didn't really care for the little buggers. But I would never hurt one, you know. But my daughter called me. I was at work. I ran a bed and breakfast at the time. And she called me, bawling her little eyes out. She found a bird, and he's bleeding, and he can't fly, and oh, my God, oh, my God. So I went flying home, and I look at this bird, and he had been shot, not once, but many, many times with a BB gun. And his wing was broke. His leg was broke. He had, you know, 20-some BBs in his little body. And he was in really, really rough shape. So I didn't want her to watch him die is basically how it happened. So I put him – I always had a bird cage. I don't know why because I didn't like birds. But I put him in the bird cage, covered him up with a towel, took him back to work because I was still running the bed and breakfast. And I figured if he's still alive in the morning, I'll call a vet. So I put some food in there, some seed and some water, and covered him up and did what I had to do. In the morning, when all the guests had left, I went in there and very slowly I'm lifting up that towel that I had over the cage, and the little bugger was just looking at me. I'm like, well, good morning, you know. But then I started calling around. I just opened up the phone book to veterinarians and started, you know, making phone calls. And not one vet would take that bird in. Not one. I mean, I just kept calling and calling. Not one. Some of them told me, just kill it. It's a rat with wings. I said, you don't understand. He's looking at me. And he can hear you. So, no. And I couldn't find a vet. I mean, I went through the phone book. I couldn't find a vet that they told me, well, call the – it's wildlife. Call the wildlife vet. So I called Eggleston. That's the wildlife vet. He said, it's not wildlife. They're domesticated birds. I said, well, somebody needs to make up my mind because he's going to die. Well, you know, it's a domesticated bird. We can't see him. I'm like, okay. So I finally called a place that breeds birds. And immediately this guy told me, bring him in. So another animal advocate, of course, you know. So I bring the bird. I couldn't bring him to a shop because they can carry diseases. So I brought him to the back of his shop, and he took some ether, I think it was, and knocked him out and started digging these BBs out of this bird. 25 BBs were in this poor little pigeon. And he asked me, well, what are you going to do with this bird? I said, well, I didn't really think about that. I just didn't want it to die. He said, well, it's never going to fly. Its leg is broke. They have hollow bones. Setting its leg is futile. It will not heal where it was broken. He said, so, like, this bird's never going to be able to be released. He said, are you going to keep it? And I said, well, you know, I'm thinking about it. I was like, yes, okay, I'll keep him. And he said, well, you know, they lived for 15 years. And I said, oh, 15 years, that's not that. He said, no, 55-0. And
oh,
I'm
my goodness.
Counting on my fingers how old I am. And I'm like, 50 years, shit, I'll have to leave him to somebody in my damn will.
Oh, I did not know that.
But I said,
that long.
50 years, yeah. No wonder there's
wow.
so many of them. Yeah, my daughter named him Beavis, and we kept him. We built a cage right into the wall of my house so that he could waddle around in between the walls from the kitchen to the hallway. That way he could see us no matter where we were.
Oh, good idea.
And he loved it. But I took that bird because where we lived, the school district, I knew it was a young person that did this shooting, or I assumed. So I went to the school. Ivy Wild was the school my daughter went to, and I knew it had to be somebody involved with that school. So I started with the kindergarten class. I had to get some pretty strict authorization because it was a wild animal.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pigeon. So I had to get authority to do that, and I got it. So I started out with the kindergartners, and I showed him this bird, how his wing was broke, and he'll never fly. He'll never see his mom and dad, brothers, sisters, cousins. He'll always have to be, you know, taken care of in a cage, and he'll never be able to go home, you know? Mm-hmm. And they listened, and they were you know, so enthusiastic about it, and I made my way all the way through to the sixth. But when I got to the fifth grade class and I was giving my speech, there was two little boys, and both of them just had tears rolling down their faces. So I was pretty sure I found the two that done it, you know. So instead, I didn't get angry or anything. I just made sure to include them in the conversation a lot more, you know. Mm-hmm. And I brought that bird every month. I would go back to the school and go class to class, show all the kids progress that he was making. And still to this day, you know, and that was, let's see, his dad, Philip, was in the second grade, and my daughter was in the sixth grade. So that was a long time ago. My daughter's almost 40, so, you know, that was a long time ago. But I still have kids from that school that message me on Facebook and ask me about the bird and, you know, how they remembered his story. So you get these kids young, they do remember, you know, and they'll share that information. And I wanted to get the point across that pigeons are not rats with wings. It's a bird.
No.
It's an animal. It feels, it hurts, it loves. And he made the most amazing little pet.
Aw. See, everything that you had done, you know, like having the bird cage, even though you didn't like birds and everything, it all followed suit and just fell into place, and that's what you were supposed to do.
God puts us where we're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
That's amazing. He's got a plan. That's so true. And ladies, we're down to 2 minutes and a half. And Pitbull Diane, thanks for all you do for the pit bulls, and keep it up, because you're being a great voice for them. All lives matter, including pit bulls, and they deserve a second chance. And Mama Cat, Ray Bittner, thank you for another great interview, and looking forward to having you back again. Okay, you're a true inspiration to humans and animals, and keep it up. You know, I know all those 110 cats that you take care of, they give you a standing ovation every time they see you. They have to love you to death. It's like, here comes Mama Cat, and she's got us some food and water. But thank you for all you're doing. And next time you see them and they do give you a standing ovation, they stand on their back paws. That would be so cute, you know. But
No Mama Cat, she's going to get a picture of one of them standing up. I know.
I know. Then send it to me.
Just like that.
We got 90 seconds, everybody. And next week, we got another great show coming. We got Rebecca Keat and Siri Lindley, the co-founders of this is going to be about the wild horses, everyone. So this is great. Horses in our hands, because this is a very hot topic right now, HR 3355 and HR 6635. Okay, so it'll be their first time. I want to welcome them aboard. And I know it'll be another great show, and we'll be discussing the HR 3355 Safe Act to ban horse slaughter. Okay, and hopefully this thing passes all the way. Remember to call your state representative and senators, and also with the nationwide horse rally this weekend, wildhorsefreedomrally.com. See the times and locations for Friday and Saturday. I want to thank everyone for tuning in this evening, and remember, we got to take action for the animals to see change, because when we see everything still happening from the 20th century to the 21st century and head to the 22nd century, it's time to do something. Okay, so everyone have a great evening, and like I said, let's all stand together and do something, okay? And paw in hand, united we stand, against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. God bless you all. Thank you, Dr. Diane, for calling in. Thank you.